Number 217. Christ the Lord is risen today.
This is the day.
Amen.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today is a day that if we didn't have an Easter, we'd have no hope.
Amen.
The future would be glum for everyone. But because of Easter, we have that hope. Let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for rising out of that grave. We thank you for the sacrifice that you gave for us, the only time in eternity that you were ever separated from your Father. Father, we just thank you for that gift. We ask, Lord, that you watch over each one of us. Keep us in your word daily. Father, teach us how to do the things that you want us to do to build our church for you. We ask, Lord, that you bless everyone that's here and everyone that couldn't be here, Lord. We just ask that you be with them. We ask, Lord, that for all the churches that are loaded up today with cars all around, Lord, we just pray that these preachers would preach your word today, not some ism, but your word, and make it clear that you are the one that are responsible for us being able to be with you in the future. We ask, Lord, that you bless each one of us. Bless this day. Lord, we pray for Dottie and Hyena, Chad, and Heretic. But we ask, Lord, that you just watch over them. We ask also, Lord, for the Belanger's surgery. Lord, we just ask that you watch over them and Eleanor and Emma. We ask, Lord, that you just watch over them. Father, if I mispronounce any of their names, Lord, it's because I don't hear well anymore. And I'll blame that on you. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you watch over them. Watch over us, Lord. Make this day a day that we will never forget what it's all about. I ask especially, Lord, for a prayer upon the pastor of our church, and that as he gives the word today, Lord, that it will stay in our hearts, and Lord, that we will be able to live our lives upon your word. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Church, please turn now to number 196 in the hymn book. 196. There is a fount filled with blood poured from Emmanuel's veins. Number 196. may be seated.
Genesis 22, 1-19. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire in the night. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered him, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not held from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went out over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And they said, and to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take the possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offering, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba.
Thank you.
Exodus chapter 3 and verses 1 through 10. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and beheld the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for this place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I knew their sorrows. I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land, out of that land, unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the Lord. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Thank you.
Isn't that the three greatest words in the Scriptures? It is finished. Amen.
2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'll be reading the whole chapter. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of the Lord, of God. And the priests waited on their offices. The Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also, at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in the heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom accordingly as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, There shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, Where hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And I shall be answered, because they forsake the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold unto other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Amen. Amen.
From the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 27 to 56. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus unto the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put on his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And then they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written,
This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. And if he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which following Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children.
I was just thinking, I know it's dangerous, but while we're reading, before we go to our next song, to number 216, can I read the rest of the chapter? Just set it in here. Verse number 57. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And then we have a giant pause there for the next 3 days. So then we turn to number 216. Please stand and Christ arose.
From the grave he rose, with a
Chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear me not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, but he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail, meaning rejoice. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and shewed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large sums of money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you, keep you safe. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The word of God.
Amen.
Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Amen.
Trust through the music and the word you've been blessed, and you may be wondering, boy, we've had a good variety of different scripture readings this morning. But if you've been around long enough, we know that all of those scripture readings, as a matter of fact, the entire Old Testament is about who?
Jesus.
It's about Jesus. It's not about us and making application by different characters and following the life of Abraham, even though what he did in chapter number 22 of Genesis was an act of faith in God. But if we use the rest of the life of Abraham, we find he was much like us in other ways. Abraham was a sinner, just like us. But he obeyed the promises of God. He was promised the Abrahamic covenant that all the nations of the world would be blessed through his seed. The book of Galatians tells us also that seed was not many seeds, but one seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we see in the passages that we've read this morning. We see the Lord Jesus Christ through and through. Now we must look at the text and to see Jesus in them. We'll see and learn about the God who sees. That's why if you were listening to Exodus chapter number 3, God saw the affliction of his people in the land of Egypt, and the angel of the Lord came down in Exodus chapter 12. That very angel instituting the first Passover was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was the blood of the lamb that was put on the doorposts and the lintels of every house. Thereby their firstborn was passed over, Pre-shadowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to our first reading for just a minute here. Yeah, you believe that? Genesis chapter number 22. I'm just going to glean a couple things from each of the readings this morning. Genesis chapter number 22. I think we'll find this interesting here. Verse number 2 of Genesis 22. I won't read the whole thing once again. It says, "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah." Now, your only son that thou lovest. Doesn't that sound like John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth upon him will not perish but have everlasting life." That's exactly what it foretells. He says, "And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. If we look just a couple verses later, we see that he was on a 3-day journey to get to that place. Does that sound familiar? Jesus Christ was in the grave for how long? For 3 days. 3 days and three nights, or the third day, they all worked together in the scriptures to the Jews of the time. It was a 3-day journey. He had his only son going to a mountain in the land of Moriah. Now it's interesting, the word Moriah is only found in two places in the scriptures. Here and 2 Chronicles chapter number 3. We read from chapter 7 today, which was the completion of what happened in chapter number 3. But the word Moriah, it's not Mariah Carey, by the way. The word Moriah means simply this, that Jah has seen, or seen of Jah. Now Jah is where we get Jehovah or Yahweh. So Moriah was a place that God picked out that was seen of him. As we look a little bit further here, again, I was taking notes even while I was listening to the scriptures. Go down to verse number 14, or actually verse number 8. Then Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. Some of you may have a study Bible where it has a note in the column. The word provide here in this case, which is properly translated in verse number 14 in the King James, it says that Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Right. So we can literally look at this passage in verse number 8. It says, "And Abraham said, My son, God will see himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Now, let's define how "see" is used. Literally, we've heard about the angel that appeared that told Abraham not to do that. That angel was none other than who?
Jesus.
It was Jesus himself, right? And he saw himself as the substitute for Isaac. So no longer Isaac did not have to be sacrificed, because God was obeyed by Abraham. He believed the promises that God made to him in the Abrahamic covenant. And there was Jesus, the angel of the Lord, there, seeing himself there in that place. Woo! Isn't that amazing? You could say, wow, how can you talk about the resurrection from these passages? Now we see another parallel here. Again, I'm not going word for word up here. He told them to stop. Withdraw yourself from him. Then behind Abraham, there was a lamb, or a ram, that was caught in the thicket. That ram caught in the thicket with the thorns of the thicket that were upon him, caught by the horns. When Jesus was crucified, what was laid upon his head? The crown of thorns. Just like that thicket that was upon the head of that ram. Jesus, the Lamb. Not only will God see a lamb, but God himself was and is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So even here, we're in back in verse number 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. We often think of the song Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He was provided, and that he saw himself there. Now we have to think of it when we see that God saw means he saw and he also took action. Just like we would say, if somebody asks us to do something, we say, well, I'll see to it that it gets done. That's the action God saw. So he not only saw himself as that sacrifice and as that ram, he saw to it that he would provide salvation so that the seed of Abraham would go through and he would then become that very lamb at his crucifixion. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Let's go to our next portion of scripture that we looked at. Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. I already kind of went over it, so it'll be quick. Verse number 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen. Well, same word, rahwah. I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Amen. He is the man of sorrows who was bruised for us. So he just said, sacred head, O wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. By his stripe we are healed. We have salvation through him being placed upon that cross. Verse number 8. And I am come down. God himself came down to his mediator, Moses. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Rukmanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And that was fulfilled when he came in Exodus chapter 12 in that Passover. I want to take you further on our journey. I told you it would be about a 3,000 year journey here, which we'll cover in about 20 or 25 minutes. We'll finish our journey or continue it in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, which Mark read this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, verse number 7. Now here's where we get to think ahead to the crucifixion, to the death of Jesus Christ. Now first of all, this story here in chapter 7 is all about the dedication of Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple was obviously built by Solomon, but it was promised that David would build that temple, but because of him shedding much blood, he wasn't able to do it. So God gave him, Solomon gave, was given by God to build that temple because he was a man of understanding. Again, don't use Solomon as your example because he was also a wretched sinner. But he had faith. Let's back up to chapter number 3 for a second. Keep your finger in 2 Chronicles 7. I mentioned that the only two times the term Moriah is used in the scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapter number 3, verse number 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. So the land of Moriah, now it's Mount Moriah, was the same place where Abraham was offering up Isaac, where the temple would be built. And that's what we're talking about, is the temple of God where the sacrifices would come in. And we don't have time to go into the details of the different sacrifices. But the blood was shed for the sin offering for both the high priest and the people was shed there in that temple. In the land, in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Now we'll stop there and we'll go back to chapter number 7. Ornan the Jebusite had a threshing floor, and God appeared to David there, where David confessed his sins of being a bloody man. He confessed his sins. Guess what? He was forgiven by God and told by God, or the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, to build an altar in the threshing floor of Ornan. So Ornan was going to give away that threshing floor. It's for the king, it's for the Lord, I'll give it away. But David actually purchased it by God's money, purchased it to build an altar there unto the Lord. You see, David knew the forgiveness of sin. David was a penitent. Unlike his predecessor, Saul, who wasn't penitent. Saul, just like many other people, continued to just blame others for his sin. David owned up to his sin. Create in me a clean heart. David fessed up. David was forgiven of his sin. Even the wickedness of murder, of murdering his best soldier and having an adulterous affair, or vice versa, having the adulterous affair with Bathsheba, having her husband murdered. And out of that, because of the faith of Abraham, came King Solomon, another type of Christ. Only the real Christ was without sin.
Right.
Solomon was used in the line of Christ. And Jesus, again, I circled another place in the text. Jesus will one day sit on that same throne of King David in the city of David. Now, there's one problem that we have now, that Mount Moriah is still there. The Temple Mount is where Mount Moriah is, and where Mount Moriah is now the Dome of the Rock, which the Muslims have right now. I think God knew exactly what would happen, because that's what he prophesied here in chapter number 7. He knew his people were going to forsake them. And he knew that the city would be destroyed, and the city and the temple were destroyed in 70 A.D., and there are people who are desiring to rebuild that temple. There's one problem with that. There's some people on there that don't want to get out of that real estate. God will take care of that, though. Amen. Let's go. Let's look at verse number 7. If we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle court. Solomon hallowed the middle court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. I'm going to stop right there. That same middle court, as we saw looking ahead in Matthew chapter number 27, that same middle court, before Christ was crucified, before he died, that's where the veil was, separating the Gentiles from the Jews. That middle court was a separation between all. So Christ took, in Ephesians chapter 2, he made both one through his death on the cross. Over to verse number 12, while we're in the same chapter. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command that the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. If my people, the Jews, we see that pestilence, we see the locusts, we see those prophesied about in the book of Joel, that God would send the judgment upon his people Israel. This isn't a text for the United States of America. Yes, the United States of America must believe the gospel. But the Jews, to them at the time, if God, if they would seek Him who He had revealed Himself to, He would restore their land. They will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments. Get this, verse number 18. Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. And we see the last king of Israel, Louis, was judged. They had lost the kingship of Israel. That's why there is no kingdom in Israel today, but there will be. There will be one sitting on that throne of David. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who will sit on that throne and rule and reign over not just the kingdom here. He will rule over the millennial kingdom, over the whole world. The book of Zechariah says, then all nations will come to me and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And tabernacles, by the way, is the Lord coming and tabernacling or dwelling with His people. So we see that through Jesus' first coming and His second coming. Now let's, where are we going right now? We are going to the book of Matthew. Matthew. Chapter number 27. Let's look at verse number 46. Verse number 45, rather. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God did indeed forsake His Son for those moments of death on the cross because He could not view sin at all. The same Jesus that back in Genesis chapter 22, I will see myself as the lamb, was now being sacrificed in that place. It was real. You're going to start seeing a movie that's going to be starting on for the next 12 weeks. The last series said that we almost killed Jesus. We almost had Him. But Jesus indeed took the place of Isaac by being crucified on the cross of Calvary. A couple verses later here, some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elijah. No, he was calling for God. Eli, Eli, and Elias are close. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him the drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. John chapter 19, verse 6, we know what he yelled. It is finished. He yelled with a loud voice, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. So the veil of the temple. Remember, the veil of the temple was on this place called Mount Moriah, which is that God sees. The place that Yah sees. Jesus, though he wasn't crucified on Mount Moriah, he was crucified on a hill called the place of the skull. Nobody has really narrowed down exactly where it is. Nobody has actually narrowed down where the garden tomb was within close proximity outside of the city walls. He had to die outside of the city walls, outside of the city gates. He would die a death of someone unclean to associate with us. But this God who sees, a cross was in visible range of that temple mount. God has indeed seen for himself a lamb that was slain. Now we'd love to say sometimes, well, this story will be continued next week. But we won't continue it next week. Jesus did something unlike any other God in history. Gordon read chapter 28 of the book of Matthew. He rose. He rose. He rose! Hallelujah! Christ arose! He is not dead. Let's go to the book of Romans for a second. I wasn't going to go here. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse number 4 is all about Abraham and Abraham having faith and pointing to Isaac and the seed being Christ again. Because Christ has fulfilled the Mosaic covenant. Christ has fulfilled being the seed of Abraham. Verse number 1 of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By whom also we have access by faith. The veil has been torn in two. As a Christian, you have access by faith. The book of Hebrews tells us we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What comfort! The love of God through the Holy Spirit is shed upon us abundantly because of what Christ has done. Verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, that's each and every one of us were without strength. We were without any visible means of salvation apart from Christ Jesus. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Guess what? That's the category I'm in.
That's me.
We can all look at that and say, that's me. Christ died for me. So one may think, man, I am too wicked. I have done so many things wrong. There's no possible way that God could save me. Well, he saved me. He saved Butch. Imagine that. We can all think that. Oh, I've done so many wrong things. I practiced so much sin. There's no way that God could save me. Yet that's exactly why God did send his Son, Jesus Christ. You and I deserve to be in that place where Isaac was. You and I deserve to be judged for being disobedient, as was shown to Solomon. You and I deserve the full penalty of judgment from God. When the verdict is rendered for our sin, the jury that judges our sin, which is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the verdict is in. Guilty, guilty, guilty. That's where we all are. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus our Lord. He was the advocate. See, if He didn't rise again, we would have no advocate with the Father. We would be just and deserving the full penalty of God upon us. But Christ rose. Christ rose from the dead, not just so that you could have a good life today. Christ rose again so that you and I always going to implicate myself, because we're all equal. We are all the same in that regard. God is no respecter of persons. And that all are under sin. Let's turn a couple more places over to Romans chapter number 10. It's something we kind of miss out in a gospel presentation. Romans chapter 10, verse number 4. Says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that what?
Believe.
That believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." You gotta live by the whole law. If you gotta live by the law, you can't slip up once. Try it. Impossible to do so. Hence why Christ came. "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above." Boy, I wish the Catholic Church would read that verse. Who can say, who can bring Christ down from above? But religious groups do it all the time. Christ wasn't enough. We can't bring Christ down from above. Neither can we make Him rise again. He rose once, He died once, He rose once. "Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." See, this is Paul addressing the Jews of the time in context. Saying, look, you know all there is to know about the law, and the law cannot satisfy, but we're giving you the word of faith. And don't listen to the word of faith by those characters on TV. That's not what we're talking about. The word of faith is the Scriptures, the revealed word of God.
Amen.
"That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus..." So if they confess, find a Jewish person today, see if they would confess that Jesus is Lord. They still won't, unless the Holy Spirit of God has been touching them and revealing Christ to them. But get the second part. "And thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved."
Right.
See, the Jews are still looking for the resurrection. There's no question in the Scriptures they were looking for a resurrection. They were learning and leading. They knew that they would come, they would be a judgment upon their bodies, and they would be raised up at the last day to be judged. But Christ is the first fruits of that resurrection. That He, if you believe in Him, that is the only way that you'll partake of that glorious resurrection. So today we are partakers of the resurrection of Christ. He rose again. He rose so that we would have hope in Him. So with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, See, belief is always in the heart. Don't go trying to obey your own heart and everything but in your heart. Take the vile, the deceitfulness that is naturally in our heart, and then take the words of God and replace those with those former thoughts that you had. It's nigh unto the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's simply an admitting to yourself, admitting to others, hey, I am or was and am a sinner, but there is no way I could be saved of my own works. Christ died. Not only did He die, He rose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, I'm sorry. He fulfilled it all for us. Verse number 11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
You know, when you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, there is no condemnation, as in Romans chapter 5, to them who are in Christ Jesus. There's no being ashamed before Him, because Christ Jesus went before, became that sacrifice for us, taking our place. And the good news, as the God that sees, remember, He sees. As the God He sees, believer, He's seated in heaven. He sees us. He sees us, whatever we are going through. He sees our affliction. He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. But yet, He sins not. Why? Because He took the place of us at the cross and gives us verification that yes, we've trusted the right Savior, the right religion. We don't have to look back to Abraham now. We don't have to look back to Solomon's temple. It's not there. But the One who ordained that temple is there. And He's given us His Spirit that testifies of Him, that convicts our sin. Yes, God does see. God sees everything about us that's good and bad. Amen? We know, go back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 11. Those priests thought they were getting rid of all sort of things, but God told Ezekiel, stay. Look a little bit further. Dig in. You'll see. They think they're holy, but they're worshiping all kinds of idols. They're even bowing down to the sun in the east. There's nothing that's hid, but hid to the God that sees. He knows our sins. And He's provided a lamb for our sins, that has risen again, that will never be crucified again. So our trust is in Him. And I just, no matter how long you've been coming to church or going to church, I think all the times, there's oftentimes we wonder, am I saved? Did I say that in my heart, that I believed in my heart that Jesus is risen from the dead? Well, you can. Doesn't take any religious hopscotch or jumping around or bathing yourself in oil or getting splashed by a priest. It takes believing the truth. The truth of the gospel. Jesus took your place, dying on that cross, and rising again according to the Scriptures. If anybody ever has questions about that, feel free to talk to me. Talk to somebody else. Say, boy, the Holy Spirit is really, He's laying on me that I really need to believe. I've been going through church. I've been doing all these things for so long. But I really need to believe and confess Jesus Christ as Savior. Why? It's His work. It's His love. And He sees your sin. Amen. We're going to close in song number 213. Then we'll pray and go to another song. Number 213. This is a song of great comfort and great hope for the one who is trusted in Christ Jesus. Please stand and sing. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Victory. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Your glorious, marvelous Son that overcame death. He tasted death for every man, but overcame that through the resurrection. of which the apostles were made witnesses to and preached about the resurrection. And it's that resurrection that why we have full assurance of salvation. Because we have a Savior that's not in the grave, not rotting away with bones and everything else, not in a tomb someplace, but that tomb that He was in is empty to this day. And praise the Lord that it will be empty forever, because we have an eternal Savior, an eternal God who purchased salvation for us. And we just pray this morning that You would just help us to go in the power and glory of Your resurrection, to go with confidence and assurance that indeed Christ died for us, and yes, He was risen for us as well. Help us to be strong in that reality, that no matter what overcomes or comes to us, Lord, we can overcome it by the blood of Your cross.
Amen.
And we pray, Father, that You would just, Lord, just use us today as we go. Lord, bless our times with our families and friends. Help our conversations to be sweet and pointed towards You. And Lord, we do pray that, Lord, perhaps You'll tarry longer. We pray that You'll come now. But Lord, perhaps You'll tarry longer. We just pray that You'll continue to equip us to be able to stand firm in the faith that was once and for all given unto Your saints. And as we go today, we do pray these things in the dear name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. One more song in closing. Number 222. 222, the Easter song. Victory from the grave.
The bells ring and they sing that we can be born again.
Power of the resurrection, you are dismissed.